שיזלך לך. It's on page 54-55. Just one more second. Just. Okay. Parashat Lech Lecha starts with the famous commandment of Hashem to Abraham to leave behind him everything, his country, his city, his family, and to go. And Hashem doesn't tell him where to go. He just tells him, go to wherever I'll show you. And after giving him this commandment, he tells him what will be the consequences of going, what will be his reward for going. And I want to see it inside. So we are starting on page 55, the top of the page. Hashem said to Abraham, go for yourself from your land, from your relatives, and from your father's house to the land that I will show you. And now comes what will be the consequences. And I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. So there are four things that are promised to Abraham as a result of the fact that he'll obey Hashem and will go without knowing where to. So let's see it again in the Pasuk. I'll make you into a great nation. That's one. I'll bless you. I'll make your name famous. I'll make your name great. And you'll become a blessing. So on the simple level, Rashi explains that there are three things that are affected by a journey, that are diminished by a journey. And even though Avram will be on a journey, not only won't they be diminished, but he will be blessed in those three areas. Money, we know that when we are on a trip and we are not at home, we spend much more. Everything costs money, right? Hashem tells him, not only won't you lose money, but you will gain money. I'll make you rich. And then I'll make your name famous. When a person leaves his home and goes to a new place, he's not known. Hashem tells him, you will be known, right? And children, you'll have children. This is the simple level of explaining what will Hashem do for Abraham. Now, these three things are not the reason that should cause Abraham to go. Even though Hashem tells him you'll have a benefit from it, big benefits from it, still Abraham is required to go because Hashem told him to go. And it's part of the test. Will he go because of the benefits or will he go just to do the will of Hashem? That's the plain explanation for it. And obviously Abraham doesn't need or doesn't aim to have money or fame, right? Children, we can say, okay, but money and fame, that's not what Abraham wants. But the way it's understood is that those things, fame and money, are the means, the tools that with them, Abraham will be able to serve Hashem, to bring godliness into this world. So that's one explanation in Rashi. But Rashi has another explanation. He says, davar acher, there is another explanation to these promises, these four things that were written here. And he says the following. Ve'escha legoy gadol, I'll make you into a great nation. What does it mean? This is the fact that we are saying Elokei Avraham, the God of Abraham. That's one promise. I'll make you into a great nation. Rashi interprets it as, we will say Elokei Avraham, as we say when we pray, right? We say Baruch Ata Hashem, the beginning of Shmona Esrei, blessed are you Hashem, the God of Abraham, right? So here it's hinted. This will be the consequence of Abraham going to the land of Israel. Second, Va'avarechecha, the second blessing, I'll bless you. So before we said with money, now Rashi says, this is the fact that we say Elokei Yitzchak, right? We continue. Blessed are you Hashem, the God of Abraham, the God of Yitzchak. And you can guess already that Agadla Shmecha, the third blessing will be, this is what we say, the God of Abraham. And then there is an addition, Veheye bracha, and it should become a blessing. It seems like a repetition of I'll bless you. But let's hear the language. It's not exactly the same. I'll bless you, or you will be a blessing. So Rashi says on a pshat level, Veheye bracha, till now, I gave blessings to whoever I wanted. Hashem blessed the animals after he created them. He blessed Adam and Chava after he created them. Right? So Hashem says, from now on, you'll be the one to bless. You will be the source of blessing. I won't bless, you will be the one to bless. Okay? So that's on the pshat level. But if we interpret the three promises, the saying, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, the God of Avraham, the God of Yitzchak, the God of Yaakov, what does it mean? You will be a blessing. So says Rashi, Bechachot min velo bahem. If you look at the blessing, we started with the God of Avraham, the God of Yitzchak, and God of Yaakov. Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. But how do we conclude the blessing? Blessed are you, Hashem, the one who protects Avraham. Yitzchak and Yaakov do not appear. So you will be a blessing, only you. At the end of the first blessing of Shmoneh Esrei, we will say only, blessed are you, Avraham. This raises many questions. Let's look into what Rashi says here. First, I want to draw or explain a difference between the pshat interpretation, the simple interpretation, and the second interpretation. The first interpretation refers to physical things, money, children, fame. The second interpretation speaks about spiritual things. I'll be your God, the God of Yitzchak, the God of Yaakov. Right? You will be a blessing, according to the first interpretation. You will give blessings and people will be blessed physically. According to the second, the ending of the blessing that starts with the God of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov is not blessed are you, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, just blessed are you, Avraham. So it's spiritual. Physical vis-a-vis spiritual. Fine. Let's go further. What does it mean, the God of Abraham, the God of Yitzchak, the God of Yaakov? Isn't Hashem the God of everybody? He created everybody, and everybody has to accept him as his God. Jews and non-Jews. Non-Jewish people are also obligated to believe in Hashem, to believe in God. So, and even if they don't believe in God, definitely Hashem is their God. He created them. So what are we referring to, a special blessing to Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, that Hashem is their God? And what does it mean? Only you will be the one that the blessing will be concluded with. So when we think about Abraham and the fact that Hashem is God, obviously there is an association here. We all know that Abraham made God known in the world. At his time, everybody worshipped idols, and Abraham made everybody know that there is a God. But this is not simple. It's not just affect the way we hear it. There is much more to it. And I'm going to prove it to you from the Chumash itself. Okay? If you look at page 46, 47 in English, the Torah mentions here the 10 generations between the children of Noah. After the flood, the Torah gives us the generations of Shem, Ham, Yefet, right? The children of Noah, who came out of Noah. Among them, in verse number 7, the Torah says the following. The sons of Ham, Cush, Mitzrayim, Put, and Canaan. The sons of Cush, Seba, Chavila, Savta, Rama, and Sevtak. The sons of Rama, Seba, and Dedan. So we see counting names of children of Noah. Let's go further. And Cush begat Nimrod. Okay? It's one of the descendants of Ham. Cush begat Nimrod. And here the Torah adds a description. Up till now, we just had names, as you saw in the psukim, two, three psukim that I read before. Just a list of names. Now, when we come to Nimrod, the Torah gives us also some information about Nimrod. And what does the Torah say? He was the first to be a mighty man on earth. He was a mighty hunter before Hashem. Therefore, it said, like Nimrod, a mighty hunter before Hashem. It's a very strange description. He was a mighty man. Okay, but why does the Torah mention it about him? We don't hear anything else about others. That's one question. Second, what does it mean, a hunter before Hashem? Everything that is done is before Hashem. Hashem sees the whole world, right? And everything that is done is before him. What does it mean, a hunter before Hashem? Says Rashi the following. Rashi says, Gibor Tzaid, he was a hunter, a mighty hunter. So it's not just speaking about something on the physical level. Rashi says, Tzad da'atan shel briot, he was deceiving people, he was convincing people to believe in falsehood. He influenced them to rebel against Hashem. Okay? And what does it mean in front of Hashem? The intention was to anger Hashem. To anger Hashem. He did it with the knowledge that it's in front of Hashem, with the intention to fight him. And that's why every person, says Rashi, that is wicked, with chutzpah, meaning intentionally, in order to rebel against Hashem. And he continues, and that's the verse I want you to hear. Yodea Ribono, the one who knows Hashem, knows his master, and intends to rebel against him, we say he is like Nimrod. So Nimrod is described as the one who knows God, but made a decision to rebel against him and to convince others to do the same. So we see that even the most wicked people in this generation knew God. Nimrod, the one who threw Abraham into the burning furnace, didn't do it because Abraham said there is a God, and Nimrod said, no, there is no God. The question was not about, is there a God or not? Both of them knew that there is a God. So what's the difference between Nimrod and Abraham? What does it mean, Hashem is the God of Abraham? Coming back to our original question, right? Your blessing will be that I'll be your God, right? And it will be said, the God of Abraham, the God of Yitzchak, the God of Yaakov, and the conclusion will be just with you, the one who protects you, the God who protects you. Blessed is the God that protects you, who shields you. What does it mean? So we have to understand, what does it mean, the God of Abraham? What I'm teaching today is taken from the book Da'at Torah, the knowledge of Torah, written by Yeruchem Ber Leibovich. Rabbi Yeruchem, as he is called fondly, was the Mashgiach in the Yeshiva of Mir in Lithuania, in Europe. The Mashgiach means the one who was in charge of the spiritual growth of the students, by talking to them, teaching them, elevating them, and making them connected to Hashem. So in his discussion of the Parasha of Lech Lecha, he explains the following. What does it mean, the God of Abraham? So he explains it via an example. If we look at the universe, we see that there is a source that gives life to everything in the universe, that without it, it would have not been possible to have an existence in this world. The sun. The sun gives light, it gives warmth. If not of it, there would be no reality. But let's look a little bit deeper into what the sun is all about. There are other luminaries. There is a moon, there are many stars, endless stars, uncountable, really. Everyone is a universe on its own. But there is a major difference between the sun and between all the others. Because the sun is the source of light, while all the others reflect the sun, the sun's light. They are not a source of light, but they reflect the light of the sun. Now, let's think for a moment. What does it mean, a source of light? Where is this light coming from? We know from the reality in this world, if you want light, you have to plug in to a source of power, to energy. There isn't such a thing of as light without a source. But by the sun, it's not like this. The sun is the source. The sun is not a reflection of light. It's a source. So how could it be? The sun is also a reflection of light, of the light of Hashem. Obviously, it's not the light of Hashem per se, because the light of Hashem is something beyond our comprehension. But it's coming from the light of Hashem, being transformed many times into something more and more and more physical, till it looks like the sun that we see. Now, how does the sun affect reality? Why do we say that without the sun, there is no life? The sun is not just external to the things that are in this world, and it gives light and warmth. It's much more than this. It's the source of life. And let's take a simple example, photosynthesis. In order for photosynthesis to take place and make plants grow and human beings having oxygen, two sources of existence for any life on this world, the sun penetrates the plants. It becomes part of who the plant is. It penetrates inside the plant, changes inside the plant. It affects chemical reactions inside of the plant. And in this way, it gives life. We can take this as an example to the, on a level, of course, to the extent that we can give an example. So what does it mean, Elokei Avraham, the God? What does it mean, the God of Avraham? So, of course, it is true that Hashem created everything, and every human being is supposed to know it, and even Nimrod knew it. And every human being who is open to think objectively must come to the conclusion that there is a creator. So the very knowledge that there is a God, that's something that is required universally from every individual, because it's obvious by looking at creation. But this is not what Elokei Avraham is. Elokei Avraham means that Avraham became a place where godliness penetrates and dwells in within him. That's what Avraham is. When we say Elokei Avraham, this is what we say. What we say is, you look at Avraham, you see God, because God is in him. It penetrates inside and it affects its very being. It's not just something external, it's something inside him. Now, we want to understand it a little bit more. In fact, every Jew has godliness inside him. But by looking at any Jew, we don't necessarily see godliness. There are some Jewish people that when we look at them, we see godliness. It shines through their face. And it has nothing to do with physical beauty. Just something that we will describe as an aura. It has to do with light, right? With the light of Hashem that shines through them to the extent that we can see it even on their face. I remember many years ago, a friend of mine got married. She was from the family of the Gerer Rebbe, the Beit Israel. And he was the one who officiated at the wedding, right? I was a very close friend of her. So I came to the wedding. After the wedding, she showed me pictures. And there was a picture of the Rebbe with a cup of wine in his hand, his eyes closed, obviously saying the blessing under the chuppah. I took a look at the picture and I had to turn away my eyes. Even in a paper picture, you could see something that penetrates via the closed eyes that impacted me in such a way that I had to close my eyes, to turn away my head, let alone looking at his face. And in fact, it's famous and known, and I remember it as a child. We were running after him when he was taking a walk on the street because it was like a magnet. There was something on his face that was. To that extent that from time to time, obviously he did not appreciate it, from time to time he would turn around and he would say, why are you running after me? I'm normal. After whom do your children run around? Run after, something strange, right? That's strange, why are you running after me, right? So there are people that when you see them, you see godliness. And this is Elokei Avraham. You see godliness. In fact, the Malbim, speaking about the ladder of Yaakov, interprets the ladder as a symbol for Yaakov himself. The Torah says angels were ascending and descending on him. Bo in Hebrew could be used as for he or for it. And we have interpretations according to the two. If it's it, it refers to the ladder. Angels ascended and descended on it, on the ladder. But if it's him, so who is the him? It's Yaakov, right? And godly creatures, spiritual existences, are, so to speak, ascending and ascending and descending on him, meaning there is godliness in him. And the Malbim says, Til Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. If one wanted to see godliness, he had to look at nature. From the time of Abraham, you wanted to see God, there was a better way. Look at Abraham, and later at Yitzchak, and later at
Rebbetzin or Esther, can you hear us? The Rebbetzin froze. Esther, are you there?
I don't think she's on.
Yeah, it looks like the connection. I don't think she's on either. I don't see her, but I don't see the Rebbetzin. It looks like her connection broke. It's just us now.
I wonder if we can contact the Rebbetzin, like maybe through the chat or email.
Yeah, I don't see the Rebbetzin on.
I'm calling
either.
Esther. I'm calling Esther.
Okay, oh, good.
Thank you, Sharon. Thank you.
Esther isn't available today.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no.
Well, let's try the Rebbitzin.
Somebody know how to reach her?
You don't have her number.
I have her email.
Oh, we're starting to look at that now.
Yeah.
Last time this happened, we waited and then she came back on. There,
But
I
she
see.
doesn't know.
Right.
She doesn't know if she's going to keep talking.
No, there she is. There she is, but
Oh, there
she's
she
muted.
is.
Rebbitz and Cohen, you're muted. We can't hear
We can't
you.
hear you. I don't see her on anymore.
If I'm disconnected, don't
Oh,
leave. I
yeah.
go to another computer.
Okay,
Okay.
we got you back now.
Okay. Let me
So,
just close one more thing here. Okay, give me 1 minute. Okay, fine. So the God of Abraham, the verb Elokei is in plural. So usually it will be used for a nation like Elokei Israel, the God of Israel. But I'll make your name great. It will be as if you are many. There will be godliness in you, and you'll have the power of the many. So Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, they became the dwelling place of Hashem. Godliness penetrated them and changed them, transformed them. Now, when one feels it, it's the greatest of pleasure that does exist. If we think about the greatest moments in our life, it's usually a spiritual experience. There could be very nice physical experiences too, but a true deep spiritual experience is a moment where all the physical things seem so trivial and so minor. That's even on our level. Think about the end of Yom Kippur, the Seder night, or whenever you stand in front of an unbelievable view, right? This is very, very little what we can experience, very, very little in comparison to the experience of Abraham. And obviously, when one experiences it, he has a tremendous desire to share it with others, to bring them to this place as well. And that's where the desire of Abraham to make people know Hashem comes from. Because it's the greatest pleasure of all. And for this, the world was created. Because the world was created because Hashem wanted to bestow good upon the creation, upon the creatures, upon men. And a man can reach what Abraham reached, which is way, way beyond what we can experience or ever have experienced. It's something similar to what the Jewish people experienced at Sinai. It's something that is described in Song of Songs as Hashem kissed me, like a godly kiss. It's something beyond our experience. And Abraham was the one who reached this point. This is what Hashem tells him. You'll go to to where I told you, and I'll become your God. But as we said, even though we say Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, and Elokei Yaakov, and all three of them accomplished everything and anything they should have in their lifetime. And in fact, Yaakov was the most perfect because he started from where Yitzchak finished, and Yitzchak started from where Avraham finished, right? Avraham started from scratch, right? But they were equally great because they used all of them fully and completely their potential. But there is still a difference between Abraham and between Yitzhak and Jacob, not in greatness. Not in greatness. And in order to understand it, I want to give another example that Rabbi Rochem gives that is very enlightening. He says as follows: look at a tree. When you look at the trunk, right, there is the major trunk deep down in the earth, that is the main part of the root. And there are many other parts to the root around this main one, right? And those that are around the main part of the root give the root the ability to stand, to withstand storms, right? The base becomes much broader and stronger, right? And that's why the tree can withstand different powers that are trying to uproot it. So the main part of the root is Abraham. Yitzchak Yaakov are like the branches around that could be also very wide, very strong, but their role is different. Abraham's role is it's the main root. The others are supporters of the main. Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah are also in this way. Sarah is with Abraham. Rivka, Rachel, and Leah are with Yitzchak and Yaakov. Now, every part of the tree, from the branches to the leaves, to the flowers, to the fruits, all draw their life from the root. Even though they look differently, they taste differently, they have a different color, they might have a different smell, right? They are very different, everyone unique. But they all draw their life from the root. And not only every branch, every cell in every branch, every part of the flower, every part of the fruit, all draw life from the root. And as long as they are in touch with the root, they are connected to the source of life. Because it's via the roots that the sustenance goes up and spreads to all the parts. Each one of the forefathers, Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, had a dominant character trait, dominant midah. Abraham was chesed, as we know. Yitzchak was gvura, self-discipline, strength. Yaakov was Torah, emet, or tiferet, different names to the same thing, different ways of looking at it. What's the root to everything? The root to everything is chesed. Because Hashem created the world because he wants to bestow kindness. And it's a pasuk. Olam chesed ibane. The world is built on giving, on the will of Hashem to bestow good upon creatures, and as we said, it's the ultimate good. Abraham, when he discovered Hashem, he didn't just discover that there is a God. The people in his generation who worshipped idols also knew that there is a God. Think about it. They knew Shem, Ham, and Yefet. Shem, Ham, and Yefet knew first man. It was a grandfather. First man was a grandfather. The story of creation was only two generations away, and they heard it firsthand from their grandfather. Of course, they knew that there is a God, but they felt God is too great to be busy with the details of this creation. It's like the king is not running the show, he's making the decisions, but who runs the show? His ministers, his government. Right? And they started to worship, to give like gratitude to those who serve God. But they all knew there was a God. So what's the specialty of Abraham? Wisdom can be something external. Doesn't have to be one rhythm. Like the famous story about Aristotle, that he was found drunk, right, in the gutters. In a very not pretty picture. And he wrote about the greatness of men and character traits and the development. So people ask him, you, Aristo? So he said, if a person teaches about a triangle, he has to become a triangle? Meaning wisdom and men are two separate things. It's an external thing to men. But there is true wisdom, what the Torah calls da'at. three levels of wisdom: Chokhmah, Bina, and Da'at. Da'at means to become one with the knowledge, meaning when God penetrates man himself and he becomes a human being with godly powers, that's the true knowledge. And when a person gets to this point, his life is on another planet. Just to give an example of what does it mean, two people who are on a different planet. This is an example from Rav Bloch, who was the head of the yeshiva of Telz in Litavernia, between the wars, right? So he says as follows: imagine that there is an ant crawling on the ground, and a human being is walking towards it. All that this small little creature can see is the tip of the shoe of the human being that is walking towards it. What is it to the ant? It's a mountain going to swallow it, going to kill it, walking towards it, because that's all that it sees. Now, is the human being the tip of his shoe? It's not even part of him, right? And he says, what does the ant knows about choice, about analytical thinking, about music, about life experiences? So here are two creatures walking on the same earth next to each other, and they're in two different planets because their tools are so different. Their capacity to absorb the reality is very, very different. When we say Hashem was the God of Abraham, what we say is that Abraham developed this capacity for absorbing godliness to the utmost, and he became the root for everybody. And to the extent that we have a connection to Abraham, we are able to experience it as well. Now, what about Yitzhak and Yaakov? Kindness is the essence of creation, the reason for creation. But kindness without boundaries is not kindness. Meaning there is something that needs to be there to maintain the existence of kindness in its purity. Otherwise, it can become so negative and destroy reality. If we would give to those who can accomplish on their own, like if we do everything for our children and not let them experience accomplishing on their own, we ruin them. It's not kindness, it's cruelty. If we give to our children, let's say we are billionaires and we give them money without limitations from a very young age, we are ruining them. So it seems like kindness, but it's not. Kindness must have something that will protect it and keep it pure, godly. This is what Yitzhak added to the equation. Gvura, discipline, boundaries. What's the balance between giving and not giving? This is what Yaakov perfected. But the root of everyone, even the root of Yaakov, of Yitzhak and Yaakov, was Abraham. Because Abraham stands for what the world was created for. And this is the meaning of what we say, of what Chazal say. Hashem is the God of Abraham, because Abraham did the utmost to bring Hashem into himself, to unite with Hashem, to become godly. You see him, you see Hashem. Yitzhak, Elokei Yitzhak, he did the same thing according to what he was supposed to accomplish, but fully and completely, to the utmost. Elokei Yaakov, the same way. Perfect human being. He did the utmost, everything he could have. He should have. But We conclude with Magen Avraham, meaning what we say is the ultimate root, the main root, where it stems from. What it is all about is kindness, because that's the purpose of creation. Hashem created this world in order to give, in order to do acts of kindness. Now, this capacity to become godly was a gift given to Hashem, to Avraham, from Hashem to Avraham, but only after Lech Lecha. Why not before? Avraham did so much in order to make Hashem known to so many people. What did Lech Lecha accomplish? Why only after Hashem told him, leave everything behind and go to wherever I'll show you, did he become the one that he became? Was he able to absorb godliness and become a godly being to the extent that he became the source of blessing? Veheye bracha, you became the source of blessing. What does it mean, the source of blessing? Up till now, I bestowed godliness. Now you'll be the channel that via it will go to everybody else. Okay? So why via Lech Lecha? As I said before, Abraham desired to share this experience with everybody. He wanted everybody to see God. Everybody to experience what it means to see God. And that's why I told people. But Abraham wished that it will be given as a gift to everybody. After all, the world was created in order to bestow good upon the creation. So let Hashem just reveal himself. And then it will be clear to everybody, and everybody will be in an ideal situation. But this is not how Hashem created the world. Let's go back to the analogies that we gave of the sun. The light of the sun is very bright and very strong. We cannot look at it directly. It will blind us if we do. That's why even at the time of an eclipse, when we want to look at it, we have to take a glass, make it dark, and only then look. Otherwise, it will hurt our eyes. Right? It's a very, very strong source of light. As strong as it is, it's enough to take an opaque piece of paper and put it in front of our eyes and we don't see it. A dark, opaque piece of paper and we don't see the light. Meaning, there is no such a thing as light that cannot be blocked. And in fact, light is blocked, right? When we are indoors, the walls don't let it penetrate. That's how Hashem wanted this well to be as well. It was created in order to bestow the godly light upon people. But Hashem covered up the light. Hashem did not want to do what Abraham desired, just to give the light free of charge and make everybody enjoy it. What Hashem wanted is an investment. Because to become one with Hashem means to have a relationship with him. And a relationship is worth to the extent that you invest in it. So what did Hashem tell Abraham? You are going to become now the father of the Jewish nation. A great nation will come out of you. What will be the greatness of the nation? Elokei Israel. They will be able to absorb godliness in an unlimited way. It's totally up to them how much will they absorb. Hashem is infinite and the ability to absorb godliness is infinite. But in order for it to happen, you have to leave everything behind. All the familiar, all the appealing, all that gives comfort, but is an obstacle, as long as it's an obstacle. Abraham lived in a society that was not interested in a relationship with Hashem. Nimrod knew about Hashem, but he wanted to rebel against him because he wanted to do whatever he wants. He believed Hashem gave men free choice, so he can do whatever he wants. That's the will of Hashem. The will of Hashem is to grant men the ability to choose and to get whatever he wants. And that's why he rebelled against him. So this has to be put aside. Physicality in general should be used with boundaries, with limitations, and used to the extent that it enhances the ability to connect to Hashem, to create this close relationship. And it's so beautifully in the Pasuk, the Beit Israel, one of the Gerer Rebbes, explains, Lech lecha me'artzecha. Go away from your land. Land in Hebrew is Eretz. Eretz is also used for artziut, physicality. Go away from physicality. That's the inner meaning of go, of leave your land behind you. Go away from physicality, from Eretz, from artziut, from the material. But not completely. Hashem tells him, where should you go? To the land that I'll show you. To physicality, that over there you'll see me. I will show myself to you. El ha'aretz asher ar'eka, to the land where you'll see me. And that's how you'll know that you came to the place, because Hashem didn't tell him where to go. Hashem told him, go. Where to? Till you see me. And when he came to Shechem, he saw Hashem. He had a revelation. So he knew that's the place. So Hashem tells him, I'll show you how. Via physicality, you can bring godliness into yourself. By leaving behind whatever is not necessary, whatever is extra, whatever will cause you to indulge, whatever will be an obstacle in terms of the connection with me. That's one thing. Second, Hashem says, after he tells him, leave behind you, A, B, C, Hashem tells him, walk, go. And Hashem doesn't tell him where to. Why? So Rashi explains on this simple level. When a person is told go, and he's not given even a place where he's going to, and he's not told how long the journey will be. Obviously, it makes the test much harder and the reward much greater. Meaning, Hashem wants from Abraham a greater investment, because as we said, to the extent that you invest, to this extent, you get reward later on. That's the pshat level. But I saw a beautiful, beautiful explanation to it by Rabbi Rucham Leibovich. He says the following. When a person is told, go to the land of Israel, how many commandments did he get? One. And the journey is the means to get to the place. But if he will ask, how many commandments did this person fulfill? One, Hashem told him to go to the land of Israel and he got there. The journey was the way, the means, via it he got to the land of Israel. But in terms of the mitzvot, he had one. But if Hashem tells Abraham, go, he doesn't tell him where to. So in every step that he takes, he fulfills the obligation, go. So how many mitzvot does he have? As many steps that he took. Every step is the fulfillment of the obligation. Go, okay? So I took a step. I fulfilled the obligation. Now I go again. I'm not going towards the destination. I don't know what the destination is. I'm just going. Hashem said, go, I go. Every step is an obligation. Why is it important? Practically, it's the same thing. It's walking towards.
It's the same place.
Still Hashem will tell you where you are.
Still Hashem will tell you where you are.
Excuse me?
Excuse me?
Okay, let's go further. So what's the difference? So it's obviously, what is a mitzvah? A mitzvah is not just Hashem told us, do something and we do it. He is the master. We totally depend on him. He tells us to do something, we do it. A mitzvah comes from tzavta. It's a way to become one with Hashem. Tzavta means togetherness. So if Hashem tells Abraham, go, and every step is another mitzvah, every step creates more of a togetherness. And that's basically the motto of life as a Jew. It's the mission statement of Abraham. These are the two first words that Hashem tells Abraham when he chooses him as the father of the Jewish nation. If you ask what is our mission, each one of us and us as a nation, it's to take one step, another step, another step towards Hashem. Every mitzvah makes us closer to Hashem and gives us more godliness inside us. We become more together. Hashem is more with us. And it changes our life experience. And that's the mission of a Jew. So we don't have to know necessarily where we are going, meaning what will be the end result. We are not doing something anticipating the reward that will be at the end. We will get reward, a lot of reward, but this is not the goal. The goal is like two closest, father and son, that there is a big distance between them. And the son is walking towards the father, and the father responds by walking towards the son. And while the steps of the son, being that he's young, are small and slower, Hashem steps towards us in his godly steps that are big and quick. This is what our sages say, open up for me a small little opening, like the hole of a needle. And I'll open up for you gates that trains can go through. Meaning in other words, Hashem created the world because, so to speak, is eager to bestow good upon us. The greatest good that we can experience is the closeness to Hashem. It's the same way that the greatest thing that could be for any part of the tree is to be connected to the root, because that's the source of life. Now, our sages say that every human being is obligated, every Jew is obligated to say, when will my deeds reach those of my forefathers? Referring to Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. Now, that's very presumptuous. If we say that Abraham is the root, the main root, who are we in the last generation before Mashiach? We are maybe the top of a branch at the top of the tree. Part of it, a small little one. A small piece of a leaf in a tree that has thousands of them. But still, no matter how far the part is from the root, if it's connected to the root, it has of the root. And this is the meaning of I'll protect you. That's the way we end the blessing of Shmona Esrei, right? The first blessing. The God of Abraham, the God of Yitzchak, the God of Yaakov. We start, blessed are you, the God of Abraham, the God of Yitzchak, the God of Yaakov. And then we conclude with, blessed are you, the one who protects Abraham. Because as we explained, Abraham is the main root. And the connection to him is the connection to Hashem. So can I be Abraham? I don't need to be Abraham. I need to be who I am. I was created for a particular mission. And the whole world depends for perfection on my mission. The same way the whole world depended on Abraham to give it existence, on Yitzchak to give his existence on Yaakov, the same way it depends on me. Because I'm part of the tree. And for the wholesomeness of the tree and for the tree to accomplish what it was created for, every part is necessary. Where do I draw my ability to support, so to speak, the existence of the whole world? Because I'm connected to the root, to Avraham. What means, in other words, the term in Hebrew for reaching the deeds of our forefather is yagir. Lehagia is to reach. Like I say, igati abaita, I reached home. What's the root of lehagia, of yagir? The root is nun gimel ayin. We don't hear the nun in higati, yagiu, because it falls. And instead of it in the gimel that comes after, there is a dagesh, a dat, that indicates to us the root is not complete in this world. One letter is gone, right? What is lingua? Lingua is to touch. So the Kotzke Rebbe explains, when we are told that we are obligated to say, I hope, or to come to a point where my deeds will reach Abraham, we don't mean in the level. I cannot be Abraham. One was Abraham, our sages say, Echad I Abraham. He is the root, the main root. But what I can is to be connected to him in my own way, to touch, to be a leaf on the tree that he is the root of. By following in the character traits of Abraham, not only growing, but helping others to grow, sharing what I have physically and spiritually with others, and using everything that I have physically and spiritually in order to step towards Hashem step by step, and overcoming the obstacles. And there will be obstacles because it's a relationship and I want to deepen it by overcoming the obstacles. When I do this, I basically support the whole world. Our sages describe Rachel and Leah as a beam that holds the heavens. It's a support to this world. And every one of us can be a beam. The world doesn't stand on one beam. We are all beams that can support the world and its existence, and enabling it to reach Hashem via following the footsteps of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Okay, I'll open to questions and answers.
Is the word nogea related to the verb you were talking about? I hear it often said, it's not nogea.
Yeah, meaning it doesn't even touch the idea.
Okay.
There's no connection to it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Hi, Rebton. I had a question. It's a little bit a little bit tangential. When you spoke about the roots being connected to the trees, we see though that so many times, let's say Sarah and Lot were siblings, and Rivka and Besuel were siblings, and Yitzchak and Rivka had an Esav. So what happens? What goes astray when the roots become disconnected from the tree? What's going on there?
Okay, we have to differentiate between what happened till the receiving of the Torah and what happens after. Before the receiving of the Torah, it was defining, based on the free choice of the people, if they'd be part of the Jewish nation or not. So a person could cut himself fully and completely and not be part. That's what Ishmael did, that's what Esav did, right? After the giving of the Torah, Hashem promised Abraham, and that's the meaning, blessed are you, Hashem who protects Abraham. Hashem promised Abraham, that's what the Chiddusharim explains, that part of him will be in every Jew and will never be, it will never be possible to uproot it.
Wow.
Which means every Jew has a connection in potential. If he makes the right choices and actualizes this potential, so he himself works towards Hashem via his good choices. If for whatever reason a person doesn't do it, he still is connected because he's Jewish, and there will be other ways that will bring him to Hashem. And obviously, there will be a difference between somebody who doesn't understand or know, was not privileged to know what a Jew is, or somebody who knows and decides to rebel and knows deeply, not only information, right? But had an opportunity, and only Hashem can know who had and who not to be the right way, and he decided to rebel, right? For those who don't know, obviously it will be a much easier way of getting connected to Hashem at a certain point. Like many Balei Teshuva all of a sudden feel a pull towards Torah. That's the Magen Avraham, the part of Avraham that is awakened. There are those that know and rebel. They will have to go through a cleansing process before they'll come back into the pool. But every Jew will eventually get to wherever he's supposed to be.
Well, thank you very much.
Sure.
Can I ask you the word yigia, like the effort, doesn't that seem more appropriate than negia, like a nega?
Yeah,
Do
it's
you
a very
think?
interesting point that you bring. The verb nega is tzaraat, a wound, a sickness.
A blemish,
But
yeah.
if you turn the order of the letters, it can be oneg, delight. And it indicates the possibility of rejoice.
Okay,
Okay.
thank you. Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else?
Yeah, hi. Could I make a
Hi.
comment or ask a
Sure.
so someone else want to go? First of all, I apologize that I had to keep getting up and at work, and I'm
It's
sorry. I
okay,
hope
no
it wasn't
problem.
distracting. And
Doesn't
also
bother.
this, okay. And this is also maybe it's like a little bit personal to ask you, but this beautiful idea that you said, even though we know we do mitzvahs every day, that it's leading us more close to Hashem and makes us feel more connected. Do you think about that like sometimes on a daily basis, like once in a while? Or I don't mean it, I feel bad to ask you in a nosy way. I just know Esther Baylor Schwartz, she teaches, she talks about how these things she's thinking all the time, and when she's davening, she's thinking these things. So I'm just wondering, it's beautiful things that you said today about Magen Avraham. So I'm just wondering, like, I don't know, maybe this is like a new lesson that you just taught today because of the parsha or not. Do you understand what I'm asking you? Like, do you carry these things with you sometimes in
Okay.
life? If you don't,
Okay.
I feel bad to ask.
No, I'll answer because it's a general question. It's not personal, right? Everything that we learn can be internalized and become part of who we are and accompany us. Is it a straight line upward? That's not what spiritual growth is, right? When we love an idea, and there are always new ideas that we discover as we learn more and, we discover things that we didn't know. No matter how much we know, we'll always discover more. If we don't leave it just as an idea, but if we think about it and try to internalize it, it will affect us. But it
Right.
doesn't mean that one day I won't forget it and we'll have to come back to it.
Right.
Right? That's what spiritual growth is all about. The question is, how much effort do we put? And for everyone, it's different where they put the effort. But of course, we try to be like Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah on our level.
I'm
Okay?
just saying it because sometimes, like one of the things you said now, I'll think of a tree, and I know it will like be in my mind sometimes. A lot of times I'll think, learn something, and there's like a thought, and it will just
Right.
make a big difference. The way you, whatever, the way you said certain things today, it's like obvious that I know the things, but to think
It
of a
gives it
tree and a
another.
root, it makes it a different dimension, right?
Right.
So I
That's why
thank
we are
you.
told, you're very welcome. That's why we are told to learn, because a person, in order to be inspired and to work hard, he needs renewal. Any new
Right.
idea that grabs us gives us the ability to do it.
Okay,
Okay.
yeah, thank you. Thank
Sure.
you.
Okay. Have a good week. See you next week in Mirza Hashem.
Thank you
Okay.
so
Thank
much.
you so
Thank
much,
you so
Robertson.
much.
Sure.
That is case some occult
Try
of
to.
So much.
Bye,
Thank you,
everyone.
Francis.
Bye.
Hi, thank you.
Such a good share. Thank you.